Hey everyone, my name is Rachel.
And my name is Madison.
You're listening to Tune Into Nature. Today we have a guest who will be joining us for our discussion. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi everyone, my name is Ethan Andrews. I'm a sophomore geology student at Colorado State University. And thanks for having me on the show.
So today's episode is going to be all about geology and life as a geology student. So that's why we brought Ethan onto the podcast today. So how did you choose geology? Why did you choose geology?
Well, let me start by saying, well, is what the priest from Princess Bride would say. Geology, swap wings us together today. okay, that's enough. But
very nice.
So. Okay, this is, so coming into CSU, I didn't really know what I wanted to major in. There's so many options to choose a major, and I don't think there's any wrong choice. I think you'll find out along the way whether, you decide, oh no, this isn't for me, or this is for me. As a kid growing up in Las Vegas, Nevada, and it was, about 10-minute drive from the Red Rock National Monument in Las Vegas. And, you know, seeing, and my dad is also a hydrogeologist, and, you know, him pointing out things and him getting really stoked about things. And I was just like, you know, I don't understand that, you know, all the way up to freshman year of college, I didn't understand why was dad so stoked about stuff like this, just formations and
rocks.
And but then as I got into the intro geology class, and intro geology is in the first class you take at CSU as a geology major. And
so you came in as a geology major?
Yeah, I came in as a geology major, and that covers everything. So we're introduced to every aspect of geology, rocks, minerals, formations, rivers, glaciers. The list goes on. But now, after taking that class and being a sophomore, I'm realizing now how much of our world is and life is impacted by geology. So now you'll see me fighting for window seats on the airplane to look down and take pictures of the formations and the different structures we're passing. And it's, you know, people around me will question why is this kid taking pictures of literally everything we're passing? And I didn't understand. I wouldn't understand either. But now I am the one fighting for a window seat.
And there you go.
I am awkwardly, walk up awkwardly, you know, touch a rock formation, quickly caressing a rock. Yeah. But my interests are primarily where, like, the human realm, I guess, interacts with geology.
Nice. And your concentration is specifically environmental geology, right?
Currently, yes. Yeah. And from the environmental concentration is why why I decided to do the environmental concentration, which is you can switch your concentration anytime. It's not going to be on your diploma or anything. But the different concentrations require different, it's a different curriculum. But mainly I'm interested in geologic hazards, landslides, earthquakes, wave stream, erosion, sinkholes, rock falls, and active tectonics and stuff like that.
So now that you've been a geology major for almost 2 years now, mm-hmm. What do you want to do with your degree when you graduate?
So that's a really good question, because I don't think it stops. The interest that you'll accumulate. I came in to CSU with no geology background. I knew nothing. And then being introduced to all these different aspects, and that's what, you know, the first few years of your geoscience career at CSU is, education-wise, it's being introduced to so many things. So I'm interested in a wide aspect of things, and what I want to do, I guess we'll find out. But there's all sorts of things you can do. You could work with law, policy. There's engineering, multiple branches of science, and that's what I love about geology, and it's something that I've come to understand is geology intersects all of the natural sciences. It'll intersect chemistry, in geochemistry, geobiology, hydrogeology, you know, the list goes on. It goes up to our planets with planetary sciences. And so there's just a wide array of things you could do. What I want to do and put a period on something, I have no clue.
Yeah, that's a good answer. You never really know what you're going to do in life. It's almost better to not have a definitive answer. You just got to kind of roll with the punches and see where life takes you.
And especially in college, I mean, every year it changes as you take more classes and as you learn more. I came in wanting to do, I don't even remember at this point, but it's with every class I take, I get inspired by a guest lecturer or something like that. And I just kind of gather more ideas and inspiration for what I want to do. And you really don't even, you never know until it's happening.
It's all part of the experience. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
And speaking of fun.
Okay.
What are some of the coolest and most interesting things that you've learned so far in your degree?
All right. So I've taken, I'm in my second semester. So I've taken 4 geology classes. Intro, you learn everything. It's hard to point. Say what I what was the most interesting in mineralogy. I would say it's the amazement, you know, that these minerals, some minerals have a specific shape and symmetry. They're very symmetrical, and you know that's what you do in mineralogy. You learn about the symmetry and, you know, why is it? Why does this form in a perfect cube or a tetrahedral shape, dodecahedron? Oh my gosh, it goes on. We go into the nitty gritty of all shapes and 3D shapes. We'll start with 2D, but then go to 3D and it gets crazy and fun. But then realizing that these minerals are, you know, not man-made. Like these are, there are some, but those aren't really minerals. However, you know, that you look at a pyrite cube, for example, and it forms like that. It's just this perfect cube. And then, you know, if you've gone to a mineral store or a rock shop and see where this, they all come from a similar mine in Spain. And the size of that mine is not very large. So it's, I think, in mineralogy, that was just the amazement of the vast number of minerals, and there's still so many minerals out there that are unidentified, and you can be the next one to find one. wow, that actually sounded exactly like my mineralogy professor. Anyway.
Maybe you're the next mineralogy professor.
Maybe. Oh no, I do not want to. But I'm currently in, I skipped one. Oh my gosh. Historical geology, you learn about the timeline of the Earth. So you put 4.54 billion years of history, Earth history, into a single class. And you even learn about the formation of the moon. And Sarah Rathburn brings in some lunar samples from NASA. And we can, you look at those and you kind of relate it to processes and the minerals on Earth that you know of, and then relate that to the geology and rocks that you find on the moon. So that was super interesting.
That sounds really cool.
I was unaware of mineralogy, so I know, but that was before I took mineralogy. But it was really, really amazing looking at those through a microscope. Anyway, so in historical, the most interesting was seeing how our atmosphere, how the biosphere, you know, the oceans are all connected with the geology, and you'll see trends. So you know, there's a ton of ways that they relate, but I don't, you know, maybe not get into that, maybe for another podcast.
There you go.
But, and then currently I'm in igneous metamorphic petrology. We haven't gotten to the metamorphic part of that yet. We're on the igneous side still. And that's just the formation. What is the pathway that a igneous rock goes through to look the way it does? How do we, so you take your observations from an igneous rock, and then you kind of relate that to, okay, then what happened here? Okay, it looked like the magma ascended, and then maybe there was some magma mixing. It's all up to interpretation. And that's what the class is about. Just interpreting these things and the processes that come along with those. And along with that is volcanoes. Volcanoes are really, really cool. And you can't just put a pause button on a volcanic eruption. So that's, again, where I am interested in is the, you know, intersection of the human realm. I keep saying realm.
Human
like
dimensions.
Human dimensions, like a video game. And then how that intersects with, you know, natural things that occur. So the geology, and you can't just put a pause on a volcanic eruption. And you'll see that for example, Mount St. Helens, that eruption was just, you know, you can't just say pause. It's like, let it chill for a little bit.
Yeah. Hold on. Let us run away first. And then
like when you're making, you know, Easy Mac on the stove and then the water just starts bubbling over, you can't just take it off the stove and put it on the other side. Has that ever happened to you guys?
Oh, all the time.
Where it bubbles over, you put the Easy Mac in the boiling water.
The worst is when there's milk in there and then it just boils over and then you make a mess and then it burns and you can't get it off the stove. And then
you put the milk in before you, really?
Are you not supposed to?
I think you're supposed to put water. I don't know, actually.
Well, I put the water and the milk in at the same time and then I boil it.
What?
And then you boil the noodles in that?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the same thing.
Yeah, Easy Mac?
Like Kraft mac and cheese?
I put milk in it afterwards. Oh,
I put the milk in after. Oh. I have other pasta packets. I thought you were talking about something different.
Oh, I was talking about Annie's.
Oh.
Well, I've experienced that with mashed potatoes because, yeah, I've had mashed potatoes explode all over my face. It was just like, and the milk and water was boiling and I put the powder potato while it was still on the burner. And so the potatoes themselves were boiling and it was this thick,
Jesus. Thick
mashed potatoes,
you know, this
bubbling
week
on my face, and it was very dangerous and painful.
So it exploded, and these are very much like some volcanic eruptions. If you have the right viscosity and the right amount of volatile content, you will make an explosive eruption, and that is exactly
it's dangerous.
What you encountered with those mashed potatoes. Anyways,
you know, you're talking about how you can't just put a pause button on a volcano.
Yeah,
and it's like, yeah, it's totally true that you can't have a pause button on a volcano. And nowadays, since we have geologists like yourself that are studying these type of things, there's no excuse to build a house on a volcano.
Well,
And
there's
we are aware of the risks. I have a friend who lives in an area. They got a new house. Everything was fine and dandy until they got a crack in their concrete floor.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what happened? They found out that they were on it was very sandstone, clay-like
material.
And they were in a floodplain too, and so it would get wet.
Oh my gosh.
It would shift. And so they cracked their foundation.
Yeah. So what's exactly, it was like, you know, what's happening there is the shrinking and swelling of clay minerals. And clay minerals are just, you know, based on the structure of the clay mineral, they kind of adsorb to water and the shrinking and swelling. Basically that's what's happening. And, and it's just this, you know, is it, you just think about where people are building houses, and that is something I am interested in. Also humans, and why are humans all the way in why is LA so crowded? Why is that city so large? And, you know, it's destined for a very large earthquake being right next to the, San Andreas Fault anytime now. I mean, it was 1700s, and then it's was the last large earthquake in that area, and then every 300 years it's supposed to happen again. It's like, okay, well, it
TikTok.
Could be. But I mean, if you relate it, if you see the technology that we have nowadays, there are early warning tracking systems for earthquakes and for volcanoes. But volcanoes gets a little bit complicated because it's tricky. You can't just say, oh, there's some, you know, earthquake behavior going on beneath that volcano. It's going to 100%. I guarantee you it's going to explode. Volcanoes are a little bit tricky because that's not necessarily the case. But for earthquakes, there's a system where the instant that a earthquake occurs, it sends a message. And I think they just recently tested this in Oakland, California. This tracking system sends almost like an
Amber alert.
Amber alert. Very much like an Amber alert where, you know, everyone gets this text message and it says, okay, you have 60 seconds. There's going to be a large earthquake.
You have 60 seconds.
Yes. But that's still a lot of time to be like, okay, collect my stuff. you know, get in the plane. We're going, no, maybe not like that, but, you know, go into your doomsday shelter.
Get in the bathtub.
Move the important vase off the edge of the table or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. And then go back on the couch.
Move grandma's ashes.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you've learned a lot of interesting stuff. So in the future, I understand that a lot of geology majors are required to take a summer field. It's almost like a field practicum, but it's like over a few weeks. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I do. So that's going to be towards the end of your time at CSU, and it takes everything that you learned, and this is and everything that you learned in your classes, and it puts it in a 5-week course. So 5 weeks, 5 subjects. It's very hands-on. It's what I've heard. I haven't taken it, but I do know that the first week is like, I don't know exactly the order, but you go over igneous metamorphic petrology, hydrogeology, sedimentology, economic geology, volcanic geology, and structural geology. Some of those are paired together, but it's everything you've learned up to that point, and you put it in a 5-week course. So it's, you know, it's a critical thinking exercise, and that's something that's super important as a geologist. Is you have to think of, okay, you know, you go up to, so you know, just assume that some rock shoots from the sky. It's not necessarily a meteorite, but it, you know, it's shoots from the sky, and you look at it and you have to use your critical thinking skills and say, okay, what am I holding? How did it get here? What processes had to go about for this rock to look the way it does? So there's, you know, that's the main goal of a geologist is, you know, being aware of what we can't, you know, directly, you know, the answer's not spitting out at you. It's not saying, oh, why am I'm this and I was formed this way. So that's what's the fun, but also very difficult part of geology. And, you know, we can't dig, you know, 30 to 40 kilometers below the surface and say, oh, here we go. This formation extends this far. Yeah. So that's, towards your end of your education at CSU, you do that as a, you know, junior or senior. And then, you know, there's also a multiple, you know, every lab I have been in so far has had a field trip, whether that be up to Horsetooth Reservoir or whether that's up at the mountain campus or, you know, north towards Wyoming. So I've had, and those field trips range from 3 to 4 hours. Some of them are a lot longer, but, you know, just learning in the labs and then taking what you know. Like, oh, okay. Because when you get that experience, I think that hands-on experience is something that's really important, no matter what your concentration in geology is. You know, if you're just going to be monitoring seismographs in an office, you know, it's still, I think, really important to get that critical thinking. But I think it's a really cool thing that CSU offers is this 5-week summer field camp towards your end of your like senior or junior year.
Yeah. I know a few students who have taken it. When I went on my watershed field practicum, there were a few students who had gone on that G field course and they absolutely loved it. They were talking about geology the whole drive. Every time we would drive somewhere, I was sat between two geologists. They'd just be going on and on about all the different formations we were driving by. We went through Southwest Colorado. Mm-hmm. And so lots of different formations over there. Yeah. Really cool geology. Drove through some areas where it's just like typical, you think of a Western movie, like the flat tops and mesas, mm-hmm. and they were like nerding out about that. And it was fun. So yeah. It's a great experience. It sounds like, I bet you're excited.
Yeah. I mean, geologists were nice people, tough and a little wacky. And those are all three,
wonderful traits
and geology puns, but they're all types of rock.
Really? Wacky?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's a sedimentary rock.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's gray wacky. I have to dig back in my brain. I mean, you learn.
I can't tell if you're like messing with me or not.
No, tuff is a volcanic rock.
You got to be lion. That was a geology pun. The lion's formation?
Lions. Oh my God. It took me a minute. Oh my God. Hey. That was funny.
So you've been talking about the different classes that you've been taking. So what's like a normal semester look like as far as lectures, labs, like what kind of things could you be doing? Because I know it just kind of varies depending on the major. I take usually one lab a semester, sometimes two, but I know it varies. So
yeah, so far each geology class is paired with its lab. The labs are usually 3 hours. Actually, everyone I've been in has been 3 hours.
Once a week?
Once a week. Mm-hmm. Once a week. And then the class either meets 3 times a week or 2 times a week, depending on the semester and class. When it's 2 times a week, it's an hour and 30 minutes. And then some classes are just going to be an hour. And those are like, you know, courses that are 3 days a week. But it varies with each class. And then paired with that, you do have to take some level of physics, depending on your concentration. So this all depends on your concentration, and have to go up to some math level. And then, you know, it really does vary with the different types of concentrations.
But even as all geology majors, they do have to go pretty high in math compared to other natural resources majors.
Yeah. So there's hydrogeology and geophysics. Those require higher than Calc 2. You can go up to differential equations and linear algebra with those classes, or you can go, you know, add a few more classes and get a math minor, which is something that I might be interested in.
There you go.
But the other concentrations are the geology and environmental concentration. And there's also a teaching course if you're more interested in the teaching aspect of geology and you want to be a geoscience teacher or you know, an environmental teacher along the way. So geology and environmental geology only require up to Calc 2. So, you know, the difference between those, you know, it's very, very broad. I mean, the descriptions of them, because they go to the nitty gritty of every class does, minuscule thing, and then they expand into the giant how things work. But the geology concentration, which is just, you know, takes the most there's different classes for that requires an optical mineralogy. And it's just a broad based training in geology. And then it's kind of emphasizing a practical and field oriented energy and mining industries, so that those are types of jobs you can go into, are like, you know, mining industries, government agencies, and stuff like that. I have some friends who are really interested in, you know, the mining aspect of geology, the like economic geology. And then my concentration, environmental, focuses on like the surface and shallow subsurface levels of that shape the earth and the processes that go about that. And hydrogeology is, you know, environmental geology and hydrogeology are I would say, personally, very similar. I think the only difference really is the level of math you have to go through hydrogeology versus environmental. But hydrogeology is like the geological aspects of water resources.
Mm-hmm.
And then the geophysics, that also requires a little bit more physics, and a physics minor might be something that you'd be interested in if you go that route. And, you know, the jobs that you can come out of that are like, you know, seismology, geodynamics, energy exploration, stuff like that.
So there's four different concentrations within geology, but geology is actually, like, geology as a whole is actually, I think, the smallest major within Warner, maybe restoration ecology, but it's definitely one of the smaller ones.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, and with Warner being the smallest academic college at CSU, it's like the smallest of the small. So how has your experience been with that?
I've never felt so small in my entire life. Wow, you make me feel small.
Sorry, I'm bringing you down.
It's okay. It's
like one-on-one.
Yeah, no, it's really, I like it a lot. You know, if there's a very large, very large, I don't know how many people are in, who are geology majors at CSU. I do see familiar faces frequently, so that I'm guessing it's pretty small. But it's, you know, getting one-on-one with the professors is super easy. You know, you don't have to fight for attention where in like big lectures, it's kind of intimidating going up to the professor. But in, you know, smaller classes with 30 or 40 kids, you know, you can, you know, get really personal with the professors. you can get really close to the professors, and they are interested in you know, your education. You know, that's what I so far with all of the professors, and I'm just guessing it's going to be all of them are like this. They're really interested and involved with how you're doing and what you're interested in. And they will, you know, take the time to schedule office hours that may not work with, you know, for if, and even, you know, when they talk about their research, they're super stoked about it. And, you know, they're all different, but quirky and interesting and really fun, really nice people. And, you know, step aside from the professors, there's also, you know, the classes you see familiar faces and you can get really close with them. And that's, you know, I remember freshman year geology. I didn't know anyone. I mean, I'm coming from Las Vegas. I didn't know a single soul coming here from Las Vegas. And so in geology, I knew no one, and it's intimidating. But then, you know, when you start seeing these familiar faces and, you know, your next semester and then your next semester, you also have them in your classes, and then you'll eventually branch off in your concentration and concentrated classes. But, you know, you're building those relationships, which I think is really, really important for any field, is building relationships and improving your, you know, social capital in a way, letting them know who you are, not just a school way, but taking these classes with all these people and creating a network and learning from, you can learn with those people and you can see, you know, you just build this friendship, and it's just a lot of fun. And it makes, you know, geology is already a lot of fun. You go outside and look at things, but then when you're with people that you like,
makes it even better.
It makes it even better. And I like everyone that I'm, all my colleagues. But another thing that I really like about it being very small is, well, not very small, it's small.
Tight-knit.
There, that's nice. I like that, Maddie. is, you know, getting involved is something that's super, you know, easy. And there's so many opportunities to get involved, whether it's, you know, an independent study with a professor, and they're always looking for people to do some independent studies and get that fieldwork experience. Research, they have grad students who are looking for field assistants for summer work. And Jill Putman, who's the kind of advisor, you'll have meetings with her. She posts opportunities all the time on Canvas, and, you know, just opportunities to get involved. And there's countless internships and research experiences that she puts on there. And, you know, a position that I currently have is a learning assistant with the Geology 120 class. Geology 120 is a class that non-science majors, and they are trying to fulfill their science credit, take. So there's like 200 to 300 kids per lecture. That meets two times a week, but there's two different lecture times. And that's just me walking around. Sean Bryan is the professor, and he lectures, and then, you know, he'll have some group discussions, and I walk around and facilitate group thinking, group conversations. And, you know, some people are super interested in it. Some people are, no matter what, some people are, you'll see some kids not very interested in mineralogy. And then you'll see some kids stoked about like eruptions and volcanoes and earthquakes. And then you'll see kids stoked about mineralogy. And then that's something that I have really enjoyed, because I can talk to people about what I learned in geology, intro to geology, geology 150, geo majors, and, kind of reinstate that stuff. And sometimes I have to be like, oh yeah, we did learn about that. And it's nice to relearn it. And then once you explain it to people, that's kind of like, you win. Now you know it.
That's always the best way to learn.
Yeah,
I've heard is that once you can teach it to other people, you've mastered it.
Yeah. So that's something that I've really enjoyed. There's so many opportunities in the geoscience department. It's, you know, far away from everything else in Warner on that third floor. But it's a tight knit group of people, and, you know, the professors are really into it. The kids and the students are, we're adults. Let's be real. The adults, the students.
Yes.
There we go. And we, you know, we just all get along, and it's a nice group of people.
And I think making those connections are the best thing about college, and having those opportunities for you, because that's how you really make the most out of your experience. Because yes, going to classes and getting your degree, like, that's the main goal, but you're not truly going to benefit without taking the little extra step that you need to make those connections and have those experiences.
Plus, yeah. Sounds corny, but it's fun learning.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, it is.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. That's all we have for this episode of Tune Into Nature.
If you have any feedback, thoughts, questions, comments, or want to be interviewed for the podcast, please email us at wcnr_recruitment@mail.colostate.edu. And Colo State is C-O-L-O-S-T-A-T-E.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we will see you next time.